We've all been there, talking ourselves out of opportunities we desperately wanted. The job interview where you couldn't stop rambling, the pitch meeting where your brilliant idea got lost in a sea of unnecessary details, that moment when you realized the person across from you stopped listening 5 minutes ago, yet you kept talking. Here's the uncomfortable truth. In a world drowning in information, most of us are our own worst enemies when it comes to communication. The average person now has an attention span shorter than a goldfish, just 8 seconds to grab someone's interest before they mentally check out. We're screening calls, multitasking during meetings, and communifaking our way through conversations while mentally composing grocery lists. Yet, paradoxically, we keep talking more, believing that volume equals value. It doesn't. What if the secret to influence isn't adding more words, but strategically removing them? What if three simple habits, applied in the right sequence, could transform how people respond to you? We're drowning in communic clutter, a relentless flood of emails, texts, and notifications. People have developed mental filters that screen out anything not immediately relevant. The biggest mistake? Leading with what matters to you rather than what matters to your audience. Consider Linda, a corporate executive who lost her dream job by checking emails during a CEO recruitment call, or colleagues who take 10 minutes to make a 30-second point. By the time they finish, everyone's mentally checked out. Martin Luther King Jr. understood connection as strategic necessity. During his March on Washington speech, he sensed his audience needed more than prepared remarks. He abandoned his script for the unplanned "I Have a Dream" section, staying present to what listeners needed. The secret? Stop living in your moment and start living in theirs. Watch for subtle signals, posture shifts, glazed eyes, tightening jaws. John, a sales executive, saved a major account by noticing his client's discomfort mid-pitch. Instead of pushing forward, he stopped and asked what was wrong. That moment of genuine presence saved the relationship. We constantly bury what matters most. Emails hide deadlines in paragraph 4. Meetings meander before reaching the point. By then, attention has evaporated. Front-loading delivers relevance immediately. Robert, a new CEO, opened his first annual meeting with tedious housekeeping. By the time he reached his vision, half the board had mentally checked out. First words stick. They set the tone for everything that follows. Front-loading isn't just what you say, it's how you say it. Joel Osteen begins sermons with jokes to prime receptivity. Greg addressed Mike's performance issues by front-loading genuine praise, lowering resistance enough for hard truths to land. Verizon discovered that letting angry customers vent first, then front-loading with, "I can definitely help you," diffused hostility better than jumping to solutions. Smart candor balances brutal honesty and conflict avoidance. When Space Shuttle Columbia disintegrated in 2003, investigators found NASA engineers had warned about insulation problems but were dismissed by officials who punished bad news. Communication failure, not technical failure. Effective candor offers solutions, not just criticism. When receiving criticism, resist defensiveness. It ensures harsher future feedback. Ask for clarification, assess whether critics want to help, then incorporate what's useful. Your energy affects receptivity more than your words. Your brain processes visuals up to 10 times faster than text. When a financial advisor verbally explained a complex fund arrangement to a school board, he created weeks of confusion. A simple diagram would have provided instant clarity. The $30 billion weight loss industry proves this power through before and after photos. Visual contrast creates instant belief. Attorney Johnny Cochran demonstrated this during O.J. Simpson's trial with his "if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit" moment. People responded to what they saw, not what they heard. Most people misuse PowerPoint by cramming slides with dense text or excessive clip art. Neither works. For effective visual presentations, remember you're the first visual people see. Create a highlight reel, not a comprehensive archive. Use photos and videos instead of text-heavy bullets. Guide attention by highlighting key numbers. Keep social media posts clear and simple. Keep videos brief. Attention spans remain ruthlessly short. Convey warmth on camera by lifting your cheek muscles and warming your eyes. Show them what you mean, and they'll remember far longer. Ready, set, go. Beginning, middle, end. Your mind craves information in threes. It's hardwired into how we process and remember. When a national sales leader condensed 20 priorities to three, confusion evaporated and market share increased. To prompt quick decisions, offer three options. Amazon displays three books per row. iTunes showcases three albums. Apple presents three computer configurations. Infomercials exploit this with three easy payments. One TV producer restructured a $500 product into three payments and sales skyrocketed. This narrow and deep formula works everywhere. In emails, use three bullets for instant clarity. For presentations, use the accordion structure, three key points with subpoints you can expand or contract based on time. The strategic twist, front-load your preferred option. Mattress salespeople start with the priciest bed because once people experience the best, they resist settling for less. Put your top choice first, second choice last for a strong finish, and bury the weakest in the middle. For indecisive people, ask them to eliminate one option. Shifting from choosing to rejecting works like magic. Warren Buffett transforms dry facts into memorable stories, explaining See's Candy's growth from $5 million to $82 million in earnings. He told shareholders, "Just as Adam and Eve kickstarted an activity that led to 6 billion humans, See's has given birth to multiple new streams of cash for us." That biblical reference creates instant understanding that raw numbers never could. Stories break through noise and stick. Spencer Johnson's Who Moved My Cheese, a short fable about mice and little people reacting to change, has sold over 12 million copies, outlasting data-driven business books. Stories make abstract concepts concrete and memorable. Tell success stories featuring a positive future. Reagan's Morning Again in America campaign highlighted concrete improvements: more people working, lower interest rates, more families buying homes. The ad ended with the powerful triplet, prouder, stronger, better. When crafting your success story, identify significant accomplishments, link them to concrete outcomes, and end positively. Keep business stories simple. Maintain clear purpose and anchor your story with time and place. Balance preparation with spontaneity. Plan your story, but sound conversational. Relive the story as you tell it, making it about your audience so they envision themselves in the narrative. Weak language strips you of power. When you sound uncertain, you'll be treated that way. Confidence is contagious, but so is wavering. Needing approval, refusing to take stands, using hesitant words, and backing down when challenged. Stop tagging and hedging. Tagging turns statements into questions. Isn't that right? Or don't you think? Hedging starts sentences with, "I'm not an expert, but," or "I could be wrong, but." Both signal uncertainty and undermine your authority before you've made your point. Don, a director with valuable insights, stayed quiet during executive meetings until he overcame his fear of speaking up, then got promoted to vice president. Anne, the first female board member of a nonprofit, learned that leadership judgments come from contributions after the board president called her out for remaining silent. Voice opinions with sincerity to sound decisive. Don't be a yes man. Both reveal insincerity over time. When apologizing, address issues directly, state solutions, take responsibility, and avoid passive-aggressive phrases like, "no offense, but." Your voice needs more energy than you think. Record yourself. You'll likely be shocked at how flat you sound. Use vocal variety. Change tone, shift speed, emphasize action verbs, and employ power pauses. Breathe from your diaphragm for a fuller voice. Match intensity to each situation because decisive language without energetic delivery falls flat. In a world drowning in words, influence comes from talking less while saying more. The connect, convey, convince method respects human attention in an age of distraction. When you connect by staying in their moment, convey through visuals and stories, and convince by sounding decisive, you cut through noise. In your next conversation, ask, am I connecting first or just talking? Am I conveying with clarity or adding clutter? Am I convincing through confidence or hoping volume compensates for weakness?